Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio this morning for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and I'll be joined in studio here for the first, really three quarters of this hour, our monthly conversation with Dr. Gabe Trujillo, superintendent of Tucson Unified School District. We'll discuss a number of things, specifically the state of the state this week. Governor Ducey said a few things around education and then sent around a follow-up, a couple policy items related to education in 2021. We'll also talk about the latest and first TUSD board meeting for the year and for three new board members, and so much more as we catch up on Southern Arizona's largest school district as we get classes going here in the spring semester. We'll finish out the hour with Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots. Devin and I will talk to Grant Anderson, the president and CEO of Paragon Space Development Corporation. Looking forward to that conversation very much. Let's welcome in Dr. Gabe Trujillo now on our live line. Good morning to you, sir. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Zach. I want to wish a very happy New Year to you, your team, and your family. It's great to be back.
Thank you so much. Dr. Trujillo, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't start with our condolences to the community and the family and the TUSD family, the loss of Mike Hicks this week to COVID-19. He served the TUSD governing board for 8 years, and also a stint as president from 2010 to 2018 was his time of service. He was a Republican who ran for multiple offices in the service of our community. He was a strong advocate for hiring you, sir, and he was outspoken and controversial for sure. But just watching social media this week, even people who disagreed with him, and there were many, found him kind and wanting the best for Tucson. That was almost always generally true. Dr. Trujillo, any thoughts or words on that as we get going here?
The loss of Michael Hicks is a tremendous loss for the Tucson Unified School District. And I think you said it perfectly, Zach, that condolences should go out to Mike's two families. Obviously, the Hicks family, who's suffering greatly right now, we offer our deepest condolences to his wife and his daughter and his son. But Mike had an extended family in TUSD, and he was deeply, deeply passionate about Tucson Unified because Mike was from Tucson Unified. He started at Keene Elementary. He went on to Mansfield Middle and finished at Tucson High in Cholla. And that's what made Mike special. He had a deep love for the district, and he led with his heart. He didn't always have the words to express what he was thinking as eloquently as others may have liked, but his actions and his passion always, always rang true in all of our interactions, and certainly throughout his 8 years of leadership at Tucson Unified. He will be missed.
Dr. Trujillo, thanks for letting us start there. And some of us knew that he was in the hospital for a while. He had been fighting this thing for a while. Obviously, everybody hoped he pulled out of it okay. He didn't, and it's just sad. And one of many lives that COVID-19 has taken from us here in our community. Dr. Trujillo, I did forget to mention, I'd love by the end of this to also talk some future stuff and how TUSD is preparing our students for kind of the new economy. So I do want to keep looking future forward. I know you talk about this stuff all the time, every day, and I appreciate you doing it here on this program. In his State of the State this week, Governor Ducey said something that got a lot of airtime, and I want to get your thoughts on it. He said, quote, "We will not be funding empty seats or allowing schools to remain in a perpetual state of closure. Children still need to learn even in a pandemic," unquote. What's your sense as we get started here right now of what that means, what it looks like, and the impact as the superintendent of the largest school district in Southern Arizona?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, right now, there have been no additional executive orders or legislative mandates coming out barring online instruction. So what we have right now are just simply remarks from the governor. And at any point, if the governor wants to issue an executive order, or there's early legislation requiring all students to come back into classrooms, of course, Tucson Unified School District, we believe in the law, and we will follow the law. A second point is that Governor Ducey's kind of contradicting himself right now. This is a governor who very proudly has trumpeted throughout this pandemic that these types of decisions should be made by school boards. He has championed local control. He has pushed off the decision-making with regard to when and where and in what fashion students are brought back to classes to school boards, local school boards across all the counties of the state. He's now reversing himself, seemingly, by these remarks, which honestly, Zach, would have benefited us a lot earlier in this pandemic, this sort of centralized decision-making from the governor's office. Certainly, what we saw in the first 6 weeks of the pandemic would have made things a lot more consistent and smoother from district to district to district. At present, we are fully compliant with the governor's executive orders. He's issued three so far in TUSD, like all of our sister districts. We've taken all the steps necessary to be compliant. So we'll definitely see what's coming around the corner. The governor cannot just unilaterally pull funding without some kind of legislative action. So we will definitely see. I know here in Tucson Unified, we as a family, we disagree with the notion that schools are closed and that teachers are teaching to empty seats. Some of the best instruction going on right now, you can see online. I mean, we've got some very creative and innovative teachers that are doing some amazing things online and are doing their best under these difficult circumstances. They're definitely not just checking out and not putting their best feet forward. I mean, we're doing the best we can. Work is happening. Learning is happening. Not to the extent that we would want, that we would see in terms of kids back in person and able to do all the wonderful things that happen inside of a classroom. But given the circumstances, teachers are working extremely hard and learning is happening.
Dr. Trujillo, it's interesting. As I was listening to you, excuse me, I thought about, and I tried to pull it up real quick, and I was able to, the superintendent, Arizona School Superintendent Kathy Hoffman, called on Governor Doug Ducey the first couple days of January to order all schools to remain in distance learning for 2 weeks after winter break, in a series of tweets. And CJ Karamarjan, a spokesperson for Ducey's office, said the governor will, quote, not be considering this request. This is a local decision. The online option is already available. And the governor has repeatedly made his preference clear. Kids have already lost out on a lot of learning, and he wants schools opened safely. There were some remarks from the last TUSD board meeting, which we'll get into in a little bit, that really made it sound like TUSD's preference would be to continue indefinitely doing virtual education versus in-person, or even a hybrid of that. Has that policy changed internally, or is TUSD going to remain kind of status quo for now for the foreseeable future?
I think January's out, and what we have, Zach, here is we have widespread rampant transmission of the virus across our staff. What we're not seeing is 100% consistent with what the Pima County Health Department has noted in its data. We are not seeing the spread amongst children, predominantly K-4, K-5. The problem is it's rampantly spreading across our staff. And if you don't have a teacher, you can't open up a classroom. So the district really remains in remote instruction, not out of fear of the virus with regard to widespread transmission by bringing kids onto the campus. We're remaining in online instruction predominantly because of our limited capacity to staff and put an adult in a classroom because we have so many people that are either quarantined because of close contact or they do have COVID and they're experiencing some symptoms. So from a supervisory aspect, I know it's difficult for people to understand. They want their kids back in school. I've got to be able to put an adult in the classroom. And if I can't put an adult in the classroom, I can't operate school. We also are seeing a shortage of subs. Our subs are not taking the daily assignments as they were before, which to me is kind of consistent with the data. The predominant majority of our sub working force, they're over 65, and there's a hesitance for them to come back into the classroom. So we're seeing a lot of sub assignments being turned down, even if a teacher does get COVID. Our normal recourse is to go schedule a sub. And when the sub's not there, you can't open up that classroom. And that's been a tremendous challenge for us with regard to staffing. And we are, TUSD encompasses the zip codes, actually the five zip codes that are hardest hit by COVID inside of Pima County. So it's definitely rampaging across the district right now. So our hope is we have an aspirational time period of either late February or possibly March for a possible return of our students. I am certainly not advocating to remain closed for the remainder of the year. So it's about finding that right time where the virus, the level of transmission recedes to a level where we feel comfortable bringing back our staff safely.
We're with Dr. Gabe Trujillo this morning, Superintendent of Tucson Unified School District. We are going to talk about, in probably the third segment of our deep dive conversation here, certainly what came up in a big way in the last board meeting was, can we get greater PPE and vaccinations to teachers faster to get things back to normal sooner than later? So we'll discuss that. Governor Ducey said that he wants to close the achievement gap and get literacy to a higher level by third grade reading, and also continues to back school choice. Those were three education-related policy items coming out of his State of the State. We'll talk with Dr. Gabe Trujillo about that a little bit more, talk about the TUSD board meeting, the new board members, and so much more. We're just getting started here on Tipping Point this morning on 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back.
Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe a la Carte. Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Welcome back, Tucson and Southern Arizona, into the 1030 The Voice studio. We're continuing our conversation this morning and for the bulk of this drive time hour with Dr. Gabe Trujillo, Superintendent of Tucson Unified School District. Superintendent, we went a little bit longer in the first segment. I wanted to run through three things. If we can do three things, 3 minutes each. I don't know. That's what's in my head for some of the policy items forwarded by Governor Ducey coming out of his State of the State. The first one was closing the achievement gap. He celebrates how school districts like yours pivoted to virtual and some good things coming out of that. But his concern about a lack of learning and the widening of our achievement gap and wants to make large K-12 investments to close that and target our lowest income learners. You mentioned some of your optimism about online learning. We know that there's so many who are being left behind, and changes in how grading is done just to get students passed and through this time. There's a lot of gaps. You're very well aware of them. What do you think about this policy item out of Governor Ducey's office?
Well, I think one of the most powerful things that Governor Ducey can start with, if interested in closing an achievement gap, is funding kindergarten for a full day. Throwing resources and funding into high-quality early childhood education will pay great dividends, especially for students that are in economically depressed areas of the district and the city. I think there continues to be an access and opportunity gap with regard to access to early childhood programming and early literacy instruction. I think it can start there. I don't think that the natural potency of in-person instruction, the magic that happens between a teacher and students, student-to-student collaboration, the relationships that develop, the connections, that is really what defines the school experience. And I don't think that can ever really be replaced. And as much as online learning has carried us through this pandemic, and, you know, I know later we'll shift a little bit and talk a little bit about the future, and online learning obviously is going to be a part of our infrastructure going forward, I don't think you can replace the in-person experience with regard to kids coming back to school. I think also Governor Ducey, if he's talking about shrinking the achievement gap, he's going to have to give schools the flexibility that they need with regard to the school calendar and mandated instructional minutes to be able to catch kids up. We're going to be bringing kids in that have been 10 months out of school, and we're going to need a lot more creativity and flexibility with how we structure the school day, because we're not only going to have to be teaching them content for the upcoming school year, we have to build on skills that they've regressed in or they're exhibiting deficiency in from the previous grade level. And we got to try to do that within the confines of a school day. So those are my thoughts on his policy recommendation there.
Right. Superintendent Trujillo, Tucson Unified School District, the second one, and again, this is part of 2021 Arizona Resilient. Some of his policy plans coming out of the state of the state is around literacy, which you just mentioned, and a focus on closing the achievement gap around third grade literacy. He says, and I'm quoting, the executive budget will fund these tools, starting with an investment to deploy literacy coaches to the lowest performing pre-kindergarten through third grade schools and equipping them with intensive technical assistance to support, improve, and sustain effective teaching and literacy practices. And fund the executive budget will also fund a statewide kindergarten entry evaluation to measure where our students are starting out at, an important tool already used in 34 other states and Washington, D.C. Are you encouraged by this focus on third grade literacy, and do you think this is the right path forward, Dr. Trujillo?
I'm encouraged, but it's still pretty reactive. The fact that we're looking at literacy specialists, I think the governor and his team are still looking at it from a deficit perspective, assuming that there's a skill deficiency to be corrected and kind of bringing in the reading specialist after deficiency has been exhibited. I really wish that the aim of the initiative would be a little bit more forward thinking, a little bit more preventative. If you really want to address literacy, you, number one, have to fund early childhood education, universal access to preschool and all day kindergarten, and preschool cannot be daycare and just simply supervision of children. The earliest aspects of literacy instruction must start occurring at least the second year of preschool. That is where that funding needs to go. Better trained preschool teachers and the tenets of literacy instruction, higher quality professional development, earlier access to literacy instruction and numeracy, by the way, let's not forget math, should be happening at preschool if we are going to build proficiency by third grade. I think bringing in a reading specialist is not a bad thing, but by the time kids are already at first grade, second grade, and they're reading off grade level, you're already behind as an educator.
Dr. Gabe Trujillo, last question here and last regarding the 2021 Resilient, Arizona Resilient, Governor Ducey's policy plans coming out of State of the State for Arizona in 2021 is a continued investment in school choice. And I wanted to ask this specific question because I know there are some fellow superintendents in the region who would be okay with seeing in-district charter schools. So charter schools within our school districts rather than parallel to our school districts. Do you agree or disagree? And what do you make of, as a public school administrator, of the desire to increase school choice? How does that fit in?
Well, for me, Zach, I'm a big school choice person, you know, in concept. Look, TUSD, for me to say that I don't support school choice and at the same time preside over a district that sees 15,000 families come to us from outside the district would be hypocritical. So the district that benefits from school choice cannot be the district that bashes school choice. But where I have concerns is the notion of school choice, meaning that the parents will get access to a separate entity known as a charter or possibly a private school that is in a parallel system that doesn't have to play by the same rules as the traditional K-12 public school district. A lot of these charter schools don't have governing boards. They don't have to comply with open meeting law. They are not audited on a yearly basis by the Auditor General's office. So there's not the same level of scrutiny, expectation, legal compliance that is put on these charter schools that the traditional K-12 district is. And what that does is it tips the scales in favor of charters and privates. It allows them to move faster, more nimbly, do more things. They get a little bit more flexibility. And I think if we're going to create a true market where parents have the choice of whatever school that they want to go to, I think that all schools, regardless of whether they're charter or private or in a traditional K-12 like TUSD, got to play by the same rules, have to be subject to the same regulations, the same academic requirements. The notion that private schools get to opt out of AZ Merit. Private schools don't have to comply with the tenets of the letter grade system. I have a problem with parallel systems that have a differentiated set of expectations. I don't have a problem with school choice.
Dr. Gabe Trujillo, Superintendent of Tucson Unified School District. We just ran through a response to a few bullet points around education submitted by Governor Ducey for the executive budget. Arizona Resilient 2021. If you missed any of that, you can go back on the podcast. When we come back, we'll wrap up with Dr. Gabe Trujillo. We'll talk about the first TUSD board meeting of the year, new board members, topics of consideration, and some future forward items as well in the district. We'll be right back after bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages. Don't go anywhere.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. If you're just joining us, you're listening to this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're wrapping up our monthly conversation, our deep dive with Dr. Gabe Trujillo, superintendent of Tucson Unified School District. Now, a bit of a shorter segment here, but definitely want to talk about the first meeting of the year for the TUSD board and the first meeting of three new board members on the board. Dr. Trujillo, it seems like a large topic of conversation at that meeting was the ability to provide greater access to both the vaccine and PPE equipment for teachers to be able to come back to the classroom, stay in the classroom. You mentioned the staffing challenges that are really behind your decision making around when classes come back in person. Can you speak to that topic of conversation at all here in summary for us?
Yeah, absolutely, Zach. And we are excited. We received word yesterday that Pima County Health Department, we've been allotted 780 vaccine spots to begin immediately coming back from the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. We will be prioritizing the staff and the employees that are working directly on our campuses right now. That's a lot of our custodians, our bus drivers, our food service, anybody that is serving right now on our campuses, a host of others, preschool teachers, special education teachers, paraprofessionals, aides working in these self-contained classrooms. Unfortunately, due to a diminished supply, a slowdown in the supply, Pima County Health Department does not have the amount of vaccines necessary to meet the targets that they had earlier set. So we are set to begin. With regard to PPE, that is really going to be a hot topic. We've set a goal of providing face shields for every single employee working in our schools and making them available. That's something I'm going to be pushing for in this year's budget, budget building for the upcoming school year. A lot of that is going to depend on the amount of CARES Act funding. Congress recently, just before the general election, of course, passed a second round of CARES Act legislation, and it includes new monies for schools, and that's definitely a goal that we're going to have coming back for the 21-22 school year.
Dr. Trujillo, a couple of questions just for clarifying. I got a parent question. When we've been on the air together, you've mentioned here as we wrap up and look maybe toward a future topic here, that if anybody is needing to, for whatever reason, have a student on campus, my understanding has been throughout this whole time there's been limited number of seats. Has that changed? If a parent or a family needs their student on site at a TUSD school, is that still available, or is that completely offline until your target date of end of February, early March?
We're fully compliant. The governor's executive orders mandate that schools be open for on-campus learning spaces for kids that need access to a computer or the access to the school. Currently, we have around 2,700 students throughout the district on campus and taking advantage of campus resources. That is still available. However, we are starting to see them close as our monitors, as our staff members that are supervising these on-campus spaces get COVID or get caught in contact tracing. And that just connects back to the staffing difficulties that I mentioned earlier. We're having situations where schools are open and they're receiving kids that just need access to the school, but the staff members like the custodian or the bus driver or the adult staff member that's in the computer lab watching over the kids doing their online learning gets COVID. then at that point we have to close that space, and that's the difficulty that we're finding right now. But yes, they are open. However, we are experiencing periodic closures on a school-by-school basis as staff members contract COVID.
Got it. Last question as we wrap up, looking toward the future here. The Arizona Board of Regents has established a new economy initiative. Each of the three state universities have a piece of this. Obviously, the U of A is doubling down on space and defense, health sciences, and mining for the 21st century. Each of those have a workforce development component. In about 3 minutes and change, Dr. Trujillo, can you speak to maybe one or two things that you believe TUSD is doing right now that is getting our kids ready for the workforce of the future?
Well, we're building a strategic plan that's going to be built around five major transversal competencies. And transversal competencies mean the skills and the abilities and the talent and the resources that will transfer from job to job, career to career. Building a strategic plan around focusing the district's educational offerings around building students' interpersonal skills, media and information literacy, critical and innovative thinking, and awareness of global citizenship and the importance of global citizenship, and intrapersonal skills. I think that us focusing our curriculum, our learning experiences, our professional development for teachers around these major transversal competencies is going to help us focus the whole district on building a workforce ready for what's going to be the second quarter of the 21st century. I think at the center of all this is critical and innovative thinking and interpersonal skills. These are those skills that the workplace of the future, and the future is now, by the way, consider to be the currency of the next generation. The extent to which our students can create and innovate, and we've seen them do that on a variety of platforms digitally, and the extent to which they can collaborate and communicate and empathize with others, these are going to be critically valuable second quarter 21st century work skills in whatever profession that our students find themselves in. So we're excited about the strategic planning process. We got it started before the pandemic. It's been on hold for a little bit, but as we now start coming into spring, we definitely are looking to pick up the work. And you'll see, Zach, our strategic plan is built on these five tenets.
Wonderful. Well, again, enjoy these monthly conversations, Dr. Gabe Trujillo. Looking forward to the next one or two, maybe, where we can get into that strategic plan and also talk about the STEM handoff. How is TUSD and other local school districts as well preparing for a STEM handoff to either the JTEDs or the Pima Community Colleges or our universities? As we hear from our workforce employers, we can't find this talent. How does it start K-12? It is always so much to talk about with you, Dr. Trujillo, and yet there's always so much of the near-term urgency. Thank you for answering all of our questions and for meeting up with us every month. Appreciate you and your time, Dr. Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Zach. Enjoy the rest of your day, and happy Martin Luther King Jr. holiday to everybody.
Absolutely. Stay safe and healthy, and best of luck to you, Dr. Trujillo. When we come back, Devin Underwood and I, Workforce Pivots, will sit down with Grant Anderson, the president and CEO of Paragon Space Development Corporation, speaking about space tech and space exploration. We'll be right back.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
It's the holiday season, and Jones Photo is your partner for giving and getting the gift of great art and photography. Whether it's taking the best family photo this year or printing and framing great shots of the desert Southwest and urban landscapes as amazing gifts, Jones Photo is here for all your photography, framing, printing, and learning and education needs. Don't miss out on the season and support local. Head to jonesphoto.com for more information.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season: to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great. From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyiloveWhereILive.com.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio this morning, our drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm excited about our final segment of the hour. We accidentally, but not really, segued into it in the last piece of our conversation with Dr. Gabe Trujillo, superintendent of Tucson Unified School District, the largest public school district in Southern Arizona, talking about some of the statewide initiatives around space tech and space exploration, the workforce development needs around that. Are we getting our kids ready? Do we have a workforce pipeline? Well, wouldn't you know, we're going to have that exact conversation with Grant Anderson, the president and CEO and co-founder of Paragon Space Development Corporation, alongside my partner in crime on a weekly segment called Workforce Pivots, Devin Underwood, the principal and founder of The Talent Store. Let's welcome them on in now. We'll start with Devin. Good morning to you, Devin. How are you?
Hi, Zach. Hi, Grant. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Grant Anderson, thanks for being on. How are you, sir?
Hi. Hello. I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in Tucson, as it normally is.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being on. And again, excited to discuss the things I mentioned. I'll ask the first question and then turn it over to Devin Underwood the rest of the way as we look at our region and our preparation for space development and exploration. Grant, start out with this. What and who is Paragon? Tell us a little bit about your company and what it means to the greater Tucson ecosystem, especially around SpaceX and technology.
Okay, so Paragon is a firm that specializes in life support in extreme environments. If it's an environment that will kill you quickly, then we protect you from it. Of course, space is the ultimate extreme environment, and so we do a lot of space work, but it's not the only thing we do. As far as the Tucson greater ecosystem, our headquarters is here in Tucson. We have also offices in Denver and Houston. But over the 27 years we've been in business, since 1993, we've brought about $160 million of business to the Tucson area. And then we employ about 170 people, a little over that, actually. And we are very embedded in the community and just love Tucson. I had the choice when I started the company of starting it here in California, and Tucson won out for many great reasons that I'm sure we'll talk about.
That's what we want to hear all the time, every day, and more of that. Grant Anderson, thank you for keeping and bringing your company here to Tucson. Devin Underwood and I talk every week about workforce pivots, getting Tucson's workers and employers back to work well, and what it means to be finding and keeping great talent in our community. Devin Underwood, I want to pass it over to you here with Grant Anderson, president, CEO, and co-founder of Paragon.
Hi, Grant. I'm so excited to have you on, and I love talking about what your company does and the entire sort of space industry in Tucson. I think it's a real point of pride for us. So thank you for your years of dedication here and all you bring to the economy and the workforce. But, you know, looking at your company, I know you guys grow in sort of fits and starts sometimes based on contracts and what's going on with NASA and other needs around space exploration. What does your talent pipeline look like? What are some of your key needs in those growth times, and how do you address those needs?
Okay, well, Paragon, because we do life support, and one of the reasons I started a life support company is I love the engineering involved with it, because it's not just building a robot or necessarily a mechanical system. It has to do with chemistry. It has to do with biology. You know, we're the other founders at Paragon, we're a chemist and a biologist, and that nexus of bringing the, together that multi-talented capable people that understand all three different areas, straight aerospace engineering, and I'm a straight aerospace techie guy with a BS and a master's in engineering, and then the chemistry and the biology. You need all that to understand what the human body needs, how it needs it, at what time it needs things. So that's really our challenge in recruiting. We need to find those multidisciplinary, talented people that understand all of that. And then the other thing that's also a matter of concern for us is we don't only need fresh outs, although they help, and we definitely keep a very good relationship with both the University of Arizona as well as ASU, but also with Pima Community College, because there's levels of technical skills we need all the way from shipping, receiving, and machines on the floor to, you know, highly trained PhDs in very specific topics having to do with metabolism and CO2, carbon dioxide removal, and stuff of that nature. Our talent pipeline is a struggle almost all the time because of that need for that multidisciplinary capability. It's hard to find people. There is no degree in life support, really. There are certain programs around the country that do life support, but there's not a specific. It's not like trying to find a thermal engineer or trying to find even a systems engineer. We really have to find people that have that overall view of the disciplines we need.
Mm-hmm. And how do you address that challenge? What are some of the things that you guys have tried, maybe successfully or unsuccessfully, that other employers can learn from? And in that, is it a national search? Is it bringing people to the region? Is it dispersed workers? Tell us a little more about that landscape.
Well, and we'll say yes, all of the above. We do have to recruit nationally, and while I mean nationally, we're restricted. We have to have U.S. citizens or green card holders because of the nature we do of the work we do for the military. We are restricted on having any foreign employees. But we do a lot of different outreach in today's world. Social media is very important. When you get especially a younger person that is looking to apply to our company, one of the first things they do is go to see what your presence looks like on Facebook and on LinkedIn and on Twitter. So we make sure we maintain a outward face that explains Paragon's culture. And that's maybe another thing that has changed since I was a young engineer is it used to be just the name of the company and the cool things we do, which we have both of those in the life support world. But it's also what you bring to the growth of the employee. And so getting that out, you know, the social media allows you to get that out and allows you to explain that to people. We've tried various things. We actually had one, you should say that that I knew Elon Musk before he even started SpaceX, but I'll admit this, I don't think I'll get in trouble for it. We actually put a billboard, electronic billboard, right outside of SpaceX's headquarters in now Hawthorne that said, hey, you really want to have a life, why don't you come work for an Eclipse company in Tucson? Because there is a little bit of a reputation among some companies, including his, that they work you 70 hours a week, and some of that is because the mission is so compelling. But I started Paragon realizing that nobody on their deathbed says, gee, I wish I spent more time at the office. So it's important to Paragon that we have a culture that recognizes the work-life balance. And then, of course, today in the time of COVID, the working from home environment, And that's changed things, too. It used to be we would say, hey, you have to work in either Tucson or in Denver or in Houston. Nowadays, we have people spread all over the country. Many of them are planning on moving to Tucson once the COVID crisis abates. But at this point in time, working from home from, say, Wisconsin or even Washington, D.C. is no different from working from home, you know, a mile away in downtown Tucson. So we have to keep those things in mind. We do a lot of things on LinkedIn. We do a lot of recruiting. We work with a program called Applicant Pro. You know, it's a little bit like the Indeeds of the world. To get our word out of who, what positions we have open and trying to explain the position so that we get a good pool of candidates.
I love it. And really, I mean, that runs through, I think, a lot of what we talk about, Zach, and you guys are right on track. It's, you know, how do you first define your employer brand? Who are you as an employer? And just like Grant said, it's not just about what your brand is to the consumer anymore. It's how do you treat your employees and really understanding what differentiates you from the competition. So you've been able to home in on work-life balance that's really different at your company than other places where these engineers may be working. So it's still a highly technical environment. It's really cool and interesting work. You're doing exciting, sexy stuff in space. And you don't have to burn yourself out, right? And so you're able to put that out there. And then you walk through and say, how do we increase our net or our reach? And so we're going to be more open to dispersed workers. We're going to look at work from home and what positions that makes sense for, and really be able to get the best talent wherever they live, which is really, I think, smart. And then, you know, add to that just this really linear thought about now where do people need to see us? What eyeballs do we need to tell this story to? So the billboard, LinkedIn, where else do we need to be advertising? How do we keep talking about ourselves? I think that's all a really incredible formula for attracting talent. Tell me, in terms of what you see Tucson can do locally, I know you talked about the Fresh Out, which is out of university or community college for those technical skills. What do you think we can do as a community or support system for companies like yours for that mid-career?
Wow. Well, one of the things that is being done, especially by the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, is looking at spousal placement. They, of course, concentrate on things like technical people coming out of Davis-Monthan, but also attracting talent. It's no longer, you know, the old 1950s Leave It to Beaver idea that there's a primary breadwinner who's moving around wherever the work is, and then everybody else follows. There's very often two different incomes in a household. So it's not only looking at placing the person that you're hiring into your company and getting them inoculated with the culture of the company, but also reaching out to their spouse and making sure that we can work with them. So we do work pretty well as a community of people, and like I said, the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce helps on this to try to find places for spouses. So we've actually hired a recent PhD grad, but his in this case of him, his wife was also just finishing up a PhD, and so we call up the university, or maybe call up the College of Science or the College of Engineering, and say, hey, do you have a need for a fresh out PhD, or do you have a postdoc position for somebody who does this type of work? So we're actually actively not only recruiting the employee, but the whole familial unit, so to speak. That's really critical. I would say the other thing is what Tucson can do is keep being Tucson and don't be California. I often say that one of my best recruiting efforts is totally out of my control, but it's how many people are being driven out of California because of the cost of living and various other aspects, both social and political and fiscal. I mean, the cost of housing there. The talent that is developed around the space companies that are in the Los Angeles basin and some of the tech companies in San Francisco, we're finding a lot of them want to get out of that environment of, you know, having a starter home be more than $300,000 or even $500,000 and being able to enjoy a relatively good cost of living, the outdoor environment here. I'm an avid bicyclist. Very often when I talk to prospective employees, I emphasize the outdoor environment here. That's, 330 days of the year, you can be outside doing something. And that's a big attractor, the environment. You hear a little bit about the heat in the summer. Most people that move here find out that that's very tolerable. I often joke that I'd rather be at 105 degrees in Tucson than 85 degrees in Houston. Because of humidity, but that's another aspect is putting that out as far as the attractions. It's no longer just about the work, which we're lucky. We work in an exciting environment and a compelling environment, but it's about the quality of life in general, and Tucson can really provide that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Zach, I know we've got to wrap up. I just want to add, so on the trailing partner piece, I think it's 73% to 75% of households are dual income now. Wow. And so, a big piece of what the Talent Store is doing with the Chamber, and this actually came out of that Talent Task Force, is launching a service that brings and brokers trailing partners between all the employers in town. So that's to come, to even enhance that and take that work off your plate. But it's exciting stuff, and you just hit the nail on the head. I appreciate it so much.
Grant Anderson, Devin Underwood, thank you both so much for your time. This has been great to celebrate what you do in the community, but to also hear what we can do to help and what you're doing to help our community. So great conversation here on Workforce Pivots. Devin Underwood, Grant Anderson, thank you both one more time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
When we come back on Friday, we'll talk entrepreneurship out of the University of Arizona. Well, don't go away. We'll be back on Friday. QQ coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Take care.